Welcome to the Point After Show with Kyle Maurer, Marshall Heslaw, and Ian DeWitt. This is the show where the guys attempt to pick the winners of the weekly NFL games, along with some healthy debate about current topics. Let's go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Point After, Woo. Episode 6.
Ooh, baby.
Here we go.
You in the six, that saved my life.
Six. You guys know what I'm drinking right now? I'm rocking an Oktoberfest from a favorite brewery of mine. Based in Kansas. Kansas.
Wow.
The home of Kansas City, right?
Wow. Love it. Wow. I'm drinking a Big B iced tea.
I'm just kidding. That's Kansas City is in Missouri. Just a reminder.
Right.
Anyway.
I knew that. It wasn't deceiving you at all.
I know. Jeremy. I know. But yeah, cheers. Raise the glass, boys. What's up?
So
as we get this episode started, this fine episode of week six, I'm gonna run a question by you guys. I wanna get your honest opinions. All time favorites. Commercials featuring NFL stars.
Ooh.
You can throw out honorable mentions, whatever. Whatever
I was hoping you would say favorite Super Bowl commercials.
No.
Because
like
I have one.
Ad campaigns. Like what are the best ad campaigns? I mean, you know, we've got in recent memory, we've got At Home with Baker. We've got Peyton Manning's Nationwide. We've got all the Aaron Rodgers with the State Farm. He's done like several different campaigns.
He's got a new
Jake
Jeopardy
from State
one,
Farm. He did the Roger, the Roger discount double check and
BJ Raji.
I do like, it's not my favorite, but I do like the recent Jeopardy ones that he's been doing. It kind of is like a little, look what I could be doing right now.
It's a little funny. Yeah. Can you think of any that your Nana wouldn't say this is stupid?
I really like the commercials that like back in the day they used to be for like Madden, where like they would catch I can't remember what wide receiver it is. He catches one ball with one hand, one with another, and then he says, "All right, throw it again." And a ball goes through the, you know, tube that shoots it out and he catches the ball in between the balls.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. One of my favorite commercials. I'll have to figure out what that is and get back to you.
I don't remember that one.
I got a great one.
What?
This is an old classic. A Joe Flacco Pizza Hut. And he's just like standing there. They're doing their whole Pizza Hut thing. And it's Joe Flacco talking. Then all of a sudden it ends with him standing there very stoically just like, "Hut, hut, Pizza Hut." It's amazing. You got to look it up. Joe Flacco Pizza Hut commercial. It's the best.
Did they have to come up with this like on the spot? Like we're filming a commercial. Just come up with something right now. Go.
That was funny.
Hut, hut, Pizza Hut.
What about that Jets lineman that's in the...
The Seltzer commercial.
Yeah, the Seltzer commercial is pretty great. Nick Mangold, I think is his name. He's been in more commercials than most quarterbacks. His agent must get a raise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ian, do you like Brady's like crypto?
I was actually about to say, I like Brady's...
The Subway one.
The Subway one, yes. With the... Like,
yeah, but you don't eat bread.
But you don't eat bread. And then he like turns towards the camera.
Yeah.
I do like that one.
I thought you would.
I was going to choose that one, but then I thought of Joe Flacco and I was like... Good old Flacco.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, good stuff. Okay. Anyway, that'll jog the old memories. I'm sure we'll think of more later.
By the way, that wide receiver, Marquise Colston, currently looking at the ad, and it is absolutely stunning. It's for Reebok Fantasy Football, circa 2009. Please, this is where you pause the podcast and go look it up.
Yeah. There's always like the like old NFL stars like repping like... I don't know, like Medicaid or something like that.
Yeah, Joe Montana's in one for arthritis. Hit a little different yesterday for me having arthritis. But what about Campbell's chicken noodle or chunky soup?
Who Donovan McNabb.
McNabb.
That's
and
right.
His mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are old.
I know. That was a
you
really
know
good
who
one.
Should get in on the Campbell soup marketing is Dan Campbell.
Wow.
I love him.
I think that's going to get to
our biggest news right here.
Yeah, go for it, Marshall.
All right.
Let's just say the biggest news of the week for me is we had our first full-blown NFL experience.
Indeed.
The witching hour of the 1 p.m. games was something that you read about in your diary before you go to bed. First of all, we had the just catastrophe-filled ending of the Bengals and Packers.
I was dying laughing.
We had
time.
Dan Campbell crying at the end of the Lions and Vikings game, where the Lions go for two with a minute left. Vikings crush their spirits with three passes and a last-second field goal from Kirk Cousins. Eagles come back late on the Panthers. Patriots come back late on the Texans. It was just an hour of football that was like, wow.
I know.
Everything in the world. I wasn't worried about anything else. It was the best hour I've had watching a sport.
Totally.
But the bigger news for me is something that we found out about right before we started recording this podcast is John Gruden is now resigning. Yesterday during the NFL games, a lot of talk was about John Gruden and the leaks that he had about comments that he had made, racial comments about Demoris Smith, a former NFLPA rep, and his lips. Since then, more leaks have been made out involving homophobic slurs towards players that were drafted, a.k.a. Michael Sam's by the Rams. He made sexist comments towards the emergence of women as referees and denounced the tolerance of protesting the flag. Honestly, in my thought, good riddance. I hope myself never to be judged by my worst day, but this needed to be pointed out and cleared out by the NFL. Especially if the NFL is trying to become proactive and not simply a reactive league. The NFL has a big campaign for the Trevor Project right now. The NFL is for everyone, is what they say. If you have a coach like this on your league, it's not. There isn't a place in this world, no matter your religion, ethnicity, or whatever other classification you'd like to make, for this type of language or mindset to be in the workplace or in an NFL that claims tolerance. He will enjoy the rest of his retirement, because I hope to God that nobody hires this man.
Yeah, I was really, I remember with John Gruden growing up watching him do Monday Night Football. I loved the Gruden grinders. I loved, you know, just listening to him kind of do his QB talks and all that stuff, and just listen to him cast and this Spider Y2 banana memes. And like, I grew up watching him, and then I was pulling for the Raiders hard when they hired him because I really wanted him to be successful. And like, for all this to come out, it was just so disappointing. I was so bummed by all of that. So, yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. So,
I think that's a tough subject for really people to enlighten and elaborate on. I think that we all share a similar take on that, and I think that that needed to be stated at the beginning of our podcast.
Yeah,
Kyle, how about your news of the week?
Let's let Ian go first.
Yeah, he wanted me to go first because he wants to have a friendly debate.
I do want to say that, of course, I mean, on the record, like, I'm totally with you, Marshall. Like, culture is important. Yeah. And it seems that the league has had cultural issues in the past that need to be corrected. And I'm sorry, there's probably a lot of guys who have been in the league a long time who remember the good old days when it didn't matter what you said quite so much. Well, we've moved on. We've moved on from that.
Yeah. So, in a different kind of tone, away from John Gruden, my biggest news is that I got to say, I'm going to say it, and it's going to be controversial. I think the AFC North is the best division in football right now.
Come on.
I'm going to say it.
Why?
So,
why?
Because the NFC West, the one that everyone was talking at the beginning of the season as being the best, with your Seahawks, your Niners, your Rams, and your Cardinals. Well, you know, the Niners just lost Jimmy G, and I think them putting in, as Kyle has lovely stated, a rookie quarterback.
And Trey Lance is injured.
Even worse, what is he injured from? I didn't even know.
He's going to be out this upcoming week. They're thinking Jimmy G might be back for this upcoming week.
Well, that might be better.
Okay.
Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G is the better option out of the two anyways. But Jimmy G is still injury prone. Yeah. So I'm a little suspect on the Niners.
He had a late left knee sprain. Going to be reevaluated by the end of the week, but most likely out.
Okay. You got at least Russell Wilson is out for the Seahawks, who was the only thing holding that team together. And I know you're going to get all on your high train about Geno Smith. Yeah, that is a backup quarterback for a reason. Russell Wilson is the only reason the Seahawks are even competitive most of the time. He's out for at least 4 weeks. And you have, of course, you have Cardinals and the Rams, who are going to be playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. They are good. Like, they are what make the NFC West a division you're looking at. But I'm looking at the AFC North, and we got four teams Yeah, I'm going to say all four teams are at least remotely competitive and will be competitive down the stretch. Obviously, at the bottom of the barrel, you would put the Steelers. I do not think they are going to be in the playoffs, but there is kind of a shot. Their defense might be good enough, and Ben Roethlisberger might be able to kind of do enough to help that team be not awful. But, you know, jury's out on that one. You have the Ravens, Browns, and Bengals, though. Those three teams, the Bengals, I think, are trending up. I really like Joe Burrow. He just got cleared out of the hospital. He's probably going to be playing again next week.
A throat contusion.
Yeah. I know. What a weird one.
Poked in the throat.
That's crazy. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
So I think the Ravens and the Browns is going to be the ones that are going to potentially win the division. I think they're going to be fighting. I think you have at least three potential playoff teams in those teams alone. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of four teams from an entire division getting the playoffs. I doubt that's going to be possible.
It won't.
No, yeah, because the Steelers, I think, will fail. But I was looking at all the other divisions, and no other division will most likely have three competitive teams down the stretch. Not that I think. I think the AFC North better than the NFC West.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Come at me, bro.
Let's go. Let's go. I think that the NFC West is still the best in the league.
That's
still contest that.
That's trash.
Yeah. Okay. You said your piece. The Seahawks and Niners do have losing records, but I kind of think that those losses in this case are kind of forgivable. Look at who they lost to. The Seahawks lost to the Rams. They did lose to the Vikings in a close one and the Titans. But both two of those three have winning records. The Niners lost only to the Packers, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. So these guys they're competing. And these are the bottom teams in this division. They have a few losses, but I think they're forgivable losses, games that, you know, either team could have won. And every one of these teams would be contending for, if not winning the division crown, if placed anywhere else. Really. Like, you could put any of these teams, the worst team in the division, they'd in any other division, and they would be competitive. I think if you put the Seahawks in the AFC North, that's what you're contesting, the AFC North. I think if you put them there, they would be one of the better teams in that division, and they're the worst in the NFC West. The Rams and Cardinals are so hot, and they're true Super Bowl contenders. I don't think the AFC North has Super Bowl contenders right now. I do not really think.
The Browns are offended right now.
I think that they are good. I think they are elevating their game to great.
But Lamar's elite.
The Browns and the Ravens are not Super Bowl contenders.
I think they have Super Bowl aspirations. I think those teams.
This time. It's not out of the question. It wouldn't be earth shattering for them to go all the way, but they are not in the top three in this league.
So this is a conversation that at the end of the season I really want to come back to, because I want to see how these two divisions end up shaking out. I think when you get Russell Wilson back, the Seahawks might be able to recover. But I think in 4 weeks, they will have four losses without him.
These teams haven't gotten blown out by anybody. There's no game where they couldn't have won it. And they've been really close. They've got some weaknesses just to work through. But I think you should be talking about the AFC West instead. That's the team where the worst team in the division
is
the Chiefs.
That's fair.
Yeah,
if you're as good as your weakest link, come on.
Yeah, well, we will talk about the Chiefs later. I have some choice words for them. But you got the Raiders in there, and I think the Raiders, especially with Gruden gone, they're going to be in probably some disarray for a little bit. I think they're trending downwards, which is a shame because I really like Derek Carr.
Yeah.
But I don't see that team pulling it through. I think the Chargers are the clear favorites in that division right now.
If you take the bottom team of each of those divisions, I would take the Chiefs or Seattle or San Fran over the Steelers. That's how I feel like you decide. I feel like we might be missing small details in there.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, my point is the best, it depends on how you consider best division, because a lot of divisions have at least a Super Bowl contender. Not all of them.
You hope.
But there's a good portion of them that have at least one.
Mm-hmm. America's team?
No.
Maybe.
But we're a week removed from talking about Ben Roethlisberger looking like your grandma with a walker that falls down and you're like, oh my gosh, I feel really bad for you.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes.
And I did say the Steelers are the worst out of the bunch. I just think the Bengals have played some really good teams and they've looked pretty solid against them.
Yeah.
And I think the Browns, man.
I don't think they're going to end up 9-8 like you thought, though. The Steelers?
The Steelers?
No way.
It might be a little high hopes.
I'll take the under on that.
I don't know.
I'd have to look at their schedule. I really would. I don't know who they play like down the stretch.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's what I got to say about the best division in football.
How about your biggest news from the week, Kyle?
There were some interesting injuries. I think you got our thoughts and prayers need to go out to the G-men. The poor New York Giants team. Can you believe it? If you asked a random NFL plan, not Marshall, but some random NFL plan to just try and name all the people you can think, all the players that you know who play for the New York Giants.
Sterling Shepard, Julian Love.
Glennon.
Forgot Glennon was in the league. This has been the week where you had a backup quarterback and you're like.
So just your random NFL fan off the street and said, just name all the Giants you can think of. All of those players are injured.
In one game? Wasn't it just the one game?
Yeah. Sterling Shepard, I think, was in injured like a quarter before. And a half. I think Sterling Shepard was injured already and some other people. But they lost Daniel Jones to a concussion. Saquon Barkley tweaked his ankle. Looked pretty ugly and gross.
Oof.
It was bad.
And Galladay. Galladay's out.
Galladay was.
Forgot about him.
Yeah.
I forgot.
They do have. They do have.
Jeremy Shockey still on the team.
Peppers. From Michigan. From Michigan.
Oh my gosh. Jabril.
Jabril Peppers. That's
Galladay had injury problems when he was with the Lions, too.
Yeah.
I don't think that's.
But he got paid.
And Saquon Barley. Barkley.
Ginger.
He's had some injury problems. Problems throughout his career.
He has.
Too.
They're just like the Panthers. Really... They're like, we finally got our star running back returned to the field. We're gonna be it's so sad.
And then you got like a guy like Derrick Henry, who is probably the workhorse of all workhorses, somehow still trucking.
How's it possible? How does he do what he does?
Still, I think leading the league in rush yards. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I just checked this morning.
That's insane. Although I think he has far more rushing
from attempts
far
more
than
carries.
Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb was like only a couple 100 yards behind him.
Yeah, Chubb's tearing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
what team is
sorry
Chubb
for the
part of?
Giants, but they are no longer relevant. This will probably be the last time we talk about them all season.
R.I.P. Thoughts and prayers, T's and P's.
Yeah, five weeks
remember
and their season's
that time
over.
When I was hopeful for the Giants, and then they betrayed me.
Yeah,
and I picked every.
You're saying this is karma.
This is justice. I feel validated right now.
Give me a break. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now we're gonna play an audio question that we got from a listener.
Hey guys, first time calling into the Point After. Just want to say hi and hear what you guys thought about all the missed field goals in the Bengals-Packers game and how outrageous that was.
All right, thanks Tyler Lau for writing into the Point After. What do you guys think about that epic finish?
That was hilarious. I think we all picked the Packers, so it was like fortuitous for us to actively have the Packers win, but since we all picked them, it also didn't really matter to me, and I just loved the mayhem. And I love Mason Crosby's interview at the end where he was like, you know, it's crazy that we're not talking about all of those missed field goals and just the one I happened to make. It was a tragedy.
It was wild. We've seen this before. Like, do you remember the Lions game?
Yeah.
They came to Detroit,
Crosby
played a Lions game, and
not do it.
Crosby missed everything. Everything that was put in front of him, he missed.
And that McPherson, I made it. And then he turns out, he's like, wait, what?
I know this rookie kicker.
I thought it was interesting that Crosby had a record 26 field goals made in a row before this, and nobody is ever going to bring up that statistic ever again, but this is the NFL record, 13 missed after tonight's miss by the Colts, 13 missed point after kicks.
In a week?
In 1 week. Jeez. The NFL record.
What? There NFL were 13 record. Missed points. 13.
I remember when they moved the yardage back and everyone was like, oh, that's not enough. That's not a big deal. And it's actually been quite a big deal for some of these kickers.
There were 13 this weekend alone.
It's crazy to think that Mason Crosby had all those misses and then they sent him still out as the captain for overtime. I thought that is so, and they called him Aaron Rodgers. When they're like, oh, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow are coming out to coin flip. And I'm like, that is an Aaron Rodgers, dude. Are you kidding me? Are you going to put Mason Crosby on discount double check like we were talking about earlier?
The funny part is he got the coin flip wrong when he called it.
Oh, my God.
It was an absolute travesty for Crosby that day.
But
what a day. But
he made it and he hit my 3-team parlay. Thank you, Mason Crosby.
That's how it goes. All that matters is the last one. Yeah.
Thank you for the question, Tyler. And thanks, I really like that it was a recorded question. We got to hear somebody else's voice on our podcast.
Yeah. Other listeners take note. We love to play your voice and to hear someone else's besides our own for just a second. Anyway, we've got some more takes from our listeners. How about an update from the commish?
Always.
The commish.
Let's hear what Adam Silver, our 49ers fan friend, Adam says. I'm going to kind of summarize some of his takeaways. He talked a little bit about, Adam takes notes during the game. To share with during the Niners games every week. So we get to keep talking about them every time. And if you're tired of hearing about the Niners, write to us about a different team, and we'll talk about that team too. Adam says Trey Lance starting, threw an interception. He thinks that he should have kept it this time. Open field, whatever. Ticked off, it sounds like. Adam really wants to like Trey Lance, giving him another game or two to figure it out. Otherwise, he's calling in Steve Young to come back with Jerry Rice. Again, the defense is what kept it close. That O-line needs to give Trey better protection, pocket closing too quick. Trey can scramble, but getting hit repeatedly, that's not going to make for a long career in the NFL. Yes, we've talked about this sort of thing before. That physical style of play doesn't lead to the endurance.
Ask RG3.
Yeah, it's so sad. As for my prediction on overall record, now this harkens back to our first episode when Adam said that the Niners are going to go 13-4. That was based on JG staying healthy. So much for that. Yeah, good luck, Adam. Sorry, that's just never going to happen for a whole season. No. Maybe the 2 weeks off, last week and bye week, will be enough to get him healthy. Yeah, maybe. That's true. Winning 11 in a row, not likely. Not being a bandwagon fan, still a Niners fan, not changing to North Carolina anytime soon. Lastly, at least we don't have any Urban Meyer distractions. And his team, San Diego State, is 5-0 and ranked in top 24.
Go Aztecs.
Yeah, good for them. He's told me before that he was like in there and when Marshall Faulk was going to SD State and saw him around campus and stuff.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of neat. Anyway, what do you guys think about the Niners?
I mean, I've given my opinion on the Niners. If they don't have Jimmy G, I think they're nothing. I don't even think they have Kittle right now. I think Kittle's injured. They have always pathetic. Had an injury issue on the Niners. Mm-hmm. And I was reading, and here's a hot tip for you. I was reading online, and there's a lot of people
online.
Who think the interwebs,
mm-hmm.
where they think that Kyle Shanahan is the most overrated coach out there.
What?
Yeah. There's what? A lot of people who think he's overrated.
He's worshipped. He's widely respected. What's and renowned.
He got to the Super Bowl that 1 year.
Yeah.
And then, hashtag that 1 year.
Yeah, that 1 year. What happened since? I don't know. They've had a lot of injuries.
That was the year before last. There was one season in between that. And the whole team got injured. And I don't know who he was trotting out there, the practice squad, for the rest of the season. It was ridiculous.
Which is why I think some people were cutting him some slack. Which is why, I would love to see him have a team healthy the entire season. But that feels like that doesn't happen very often over there.
I never hear anti-Shanahan takes. I never hear that.
Yeah, I definitely don't favor San Fran making it far, especially in that division. As for San Diego State, I didn't know Marshall Faulk played there. Only player I knew was Vincent Brown, who was a wide receiver for the one and only San Diego Chargers.
Oh,
way back in the day. That was one of my favorite players to put in Madden on my team. So shout out to you, Kamish. Let's get to our next question about the Chiefs.
Okay.
Sorry, we're going to a little preemptive blurb for Ian. Jamie Hessler, my brother, at Jamie Hessler on Twitter, said, people need to relax about the Chiefs being done and eliminated.
R-E-L-A-X.
I think, Ian, we'll save your take for upcoming segment we have. But for me, I'm with you, Jamie. I think that the Chiefs, it's five games into the season. I'm not going to say anybody's a lock or anybody's screwed, except for the Lions and the Dolphins and the Jags. I mean, there's a few teams that we can look at and say they're not going to make it, but I can't count out Mahomes. It's one of those things like the Warriors down 10 in the fourth quarter. They're going to make a run. So the next take, you guys got anything else you want to throw on there or just kind of move on and get to the next segment?
We can move on. We'll talk about the Chiefs.
I am definitely not stressed about the Chiefs. I'm with you, Jamie. Just like, this ain't no big thing. I mean, three losses is surprising, but like, chill out.
Yeah. We'll keep this next one short for my other brother, for my same mother. At slooch.daily.bread on Instagram, Tommy Hessler says, the Raiders suck, and I was right. That is all. and we'll keep that short and sweet, and you were correct. I do think that the game had a little bit to do with what was going on with Gruden. I think you can't look at a 20-9 loss to the Bears, who had 6 yards of offense 2 weeks ago, and they're moving in on the Raiders. So I look at that and say, something's got to be going on. But this next takes a little... I'd like to hear you guys' take on it.
That's a question.
From Elliot Aceteo, at Childish Filipino. Great name you guys liked last time. How far do you think the Chargers will go? AFC Championship, maybe? What do you guys think?
I like it.
I
like it.
I'm really liking the Chargers right now. They are fire.
Yeah.
They're so... Herbert is so good. He is really fun to watch.
He is. Wow. His name did not even come up. Like, what was it, last week or was it the week before when we were like, oh, our way too early MVP picks? We didn't even mention this guy. And now it seems like who is more consistently great every week? You can count on him. He's money in the bank.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I think the part that was interesting for me of that team is that their coach is so aggressive. He is like, it might be 5 years ahead of other coaches in terms of aggressiveness. Like, you know, 15 years ago, people were like, oh my gosh, I'm going for it on 4th and 1. And now there's like the Browns go for 2 when they get their first touchdown. This guy's going for it on 4th and 7. He's like, 7 yards? I can get that. But then I'm thinking like, why didn't you get the other 3 downs? It's just kind of confusing to me, but I love how aggressive he is. He did it against the Chiefs when they were backed up. He did it this week against the Browns. So overall, I'm looking at that coach and just saying, hey, props to you. That is the part that got me over the hump.
They are hot right now. The Chargers look good. Really, the two teams that are unquestionably smoking. Sizzling.
Can I say who you're gonna say?
Yeah.
Because you're gonna say. Well, I don't know. Are you?
They are complete. No.
Okay. All right. Well, I was thinking the Bills and the Chargers.
Bills and Chargers.
Yeah.
Bills and Chargers.
I didn't know
are
if we were sticking
fire.
To AFC or if we were going to the NFC. I don't know what you were doing.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Bills and Chargers look like the clear AFC championship right now. They're complete teams. They're sizzling. All sides of the spherical object that we chuck in this game.
Those are some hot takes.
This next segment, I simply have one question for you. Do you got faith? Well, Kyle, how about you give us the team that's gaining some faith with you?
Okay, let's do that. I'm going with the Bills. The Bills. They are the team to beat. As I said last week, if they beat the Chiefs, they lay them in the ground. They did decisively yesterday. It was clear to anyone watching who's the better team on this field. No one is questioning that anymore. There's a better team. The leader in the AFC is now the Buffalo Bills. Watching them feels like watching a Super Bowl worthy team. And we've watched a lot of football before. You know, you kind of get that feeling when you watch a team like this team looks like they should be in the Super Bowl. They look like they've got it all together. They have it figured out. This is their year. There's no clear weaknesses to exploit. They're complete.
Yeah, their wins are
staggering.
It's insane.
Who else in the league is blowing out their appointments?
It's both. Their opponents. It's 35-0, 43-21, 40-0, 38-20. And this is one.
There's no one else in the NFL who is blowing out their opponents consistently at all. At all, let alone ever.
Their point differential in this season so far is +108. Second place, +26. The Browns.
It's
the Browns. It's we're 3-2.
Yeah, yeah. It's insane. So yeah, definitely the Bills are skyrocketing to the top. They're the team to beat. I would say probably in the league right now. The Cardinals, I still love. Still really love the Cardinals. Kind of think that they're the best the NFC has to offer. But all of their games have been close.
Yeah, one point to say for the Bills is we got to watch them down the stretch. They're going to play the Titans, who I'm not quite sure how to feel about the Titans just yet. They've kind of had some weird games, but they rebounded pretty well
this past week.
Yeah. They got the Saints, who, again, they're kind of like the Titans right now. I'm not quite sure what to make out of them just yet. They got Tampa. So they got some games coming up that we're going to have to watch how they do, because so far they have blown out, so which is good that they've blown out Miami, Washington, and Houston. Three teams that are not particularly great. So I certainly agree with you, though.
Yeah.
I think they are by far probably the best team in football.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
By far, probably. Yes.
Yes.
By far, probably.
Yeah.
Great sentence.
Well, the team I'm losing, if we're doing that next.
Well, let's do gaining first.
Okay, and then gaining we'll come faith back all around. Losing. Okay.
Let's get it's gain season right now. Yeah. Ian, give us your gainer.
All right. Well, for sticking with the AFC, you're going to take the Bills. I'm going to take the Chargers.
Go, Chargers, go.
Loving the Chargers. Herbert has entered the chat for MVP conversation, I believe. That dude is so
Justin
good.
Herbert has entered the chat.
Oh, absolutely. My gosh. He's so good. He's so fun to watch. That game against the Browns, I'm so bummed that game was not in our region to watch. I would have loved to watch that over.
I loved it on the red zone.
Yeah. I know. I would have loved to watch it over watching Dallas just womp on the Giants the entire time. That was so bad. But this team is electric. Not bolt up. Right now, I think they still have some haters to dismiss just because they have to keep this up. I think a lot of teams are going to look at their past and say, well, you were, what was the record last year? They were 7-9 last year, 5-11 the year before that. They've had some rough years. So I think they have to get through that. But if they keep this up, they feel like they're a contender to me right now.
Totally.
Out of nowhere. And I expected them to be good, but not this good. I didn't think Herbert would be this good. And they have beaten some good teams.
Totally.
It's not like they're losing or they're winning against bad teams. They're beating good teams.
Right.
And this is a fun thought to think about. The Super Bowl's in L.A. How fun would it be a Chargers versus Rams Super Bowl in L.A.? That would be so cool. I would love to see it.
That would be wild. That would be historic.
Yeah. So, but their wins against the Browns and the Chiefs have already shown they're ready to play with the big boys.
They definitely are. They really have instilled a lot of faith in all of us.
I have.
I feel, I feel every week like they could win.
I know. I'm really excited watching them play too. So I'm hoping they keep it up.
They're a fun team to watch. They get a lot of weapons. So, definitely curious to see the people who had Burrow, Tua, or your boy, Herbert. You know, that's going to be a conversation going down the road. Is that going to be like the, Elway Marino thing?
Yeah.
Hurts as well. But later in the draft for him. My team that's gaining some trust for me, I got trust issues. Shout out Drake. But I'm still gaining with the Browns every week, even in a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're the only team in NFL history to score 40 points, gain 500 yards, and lose.
Do you know how many games have been like this? I saw this stat too. 401 games to zero when that stat line occurred. They are the first to lose.
It's crazy. They were literally like each had a drive left, and they're like, there's been 1,068 yards gained today. I'm like, this is stunning. But, you know, their defense was injured yesterday. Secondary was a little bit depleted, but also didn't have Jarvis Landry. they're a team that hasn't played 100% yet. That's a team that I would be scared to play. The team had two losses to two great teams that will be in the playoffs.
For sure.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
And this is a team built for the postseason. They're balanced offensively. I will say that 2 weeks ago when they played the Vikings, I was really disappointed because Baker was actually throwing less yards per throw than Kirk Cousins, who I make fun of every week in here.
Yeah.
Screw the Falcons and screw you, Kirk Cousins. That's my put that on the bingo board. But this past week, Baker pushed the ball. He took chances. He led his team, and they showed the potential. So I'm gaining trust from them.
Shake and bake, baby. Shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
Are these shoulder pads mine? They could be.
Yeah.
Shout out to the commercials.
So if these are our boys that we're gaining some, what about who are we having some trust issues with, Kyle?
Gosh. You know, I'm struggling right now with Denver. Those Broncos. You know, I think it's a team that really does have some potential. I don't know. I don't think the opposing teams can, like, count on an easy win when they're facing the Broncos, but they really just don't seem to have what it takes to compete at a high level. They're not all the way there. Now, plenty of which teams do wish they had a defense that's that good, but it's still, I think, honestly, only above average. And the offense truly lacks firepower. So I'm losing a lot of faith in the Broncos that they can go far. There's a chance. I mean, there's still a realistic chance that they end up in the postseason. We got seven AFC teams making it, and it's going to be, we're going to have a team that we're, that's bad in it. They were disappointed. It's going to be Broncos or Raiders or Dolphins or Patriots or Bengals or something like that. One of those teams, or maybe two of those teams, are going to be in the postseason, and we're going to be like, what? But that's just how it works. It could be the Broncos. They've got some pieces, but I'm really disappointed with how things have played out once they actually started to play good teams.
You know, Jerry Jeudy getting injured was big for them early in the year. KJ Hamler getting injured, and even Sutton getting injured. Those are three weapons that, for Teddy Bridgewater, who really isn't a throw it 25 yards in the air kind of quarterback, he's going to methodically break you down the field. And to have a running game like Melvin Gordon, you have to, it's kind of the RPO. You have to have the R in order to do RPO.
Yeah.
And currently they don't have that. So I would definitely be selling stock in the Broncos as well.
Is it no longer Steady Teddy?
I don't know. I mean,
let me Google words that rhyme with Teddy. Hold on.
he's ready, and he's. I don't think he's the problem. It's not like, you know, you could get some extra, you know, slightly better quarterback, and it would turn a lot of things around.
But, yeah, I agree.
You know, yeah, he doesn't have a Keenan Allen. He doesn't have, you know, the same weapons to work with. Anyway, what about you, Ian?
Well, so I'm losing faith in the Chiefs. We have said multiple times that I wanted to talk about them. And so the Chiefs, I've said this before. I think their defense is a problem. You don't go 5 weeks, five games. If you want to include the Super Bowl last year, you can. That's six games then in a row. That's 29 points or more that their defense has allowed.
Never happened in the NFL in the first five games.
That's insane. And I don't think a team can be consistent regardless of how good Mahomes is. He's probably one of the best, if not the best player in the NFL. There's an argument to be made that Mahomes is one of the best players in the NFL. I don't even think it's a question, right? He can clearly put up points, but you can only have, like, you're in shootouts every game, and that's not sustainable. And Buffalo exposed that if you know how to play a good defense long enough to just reduce their points by two touchdowns, you can beat them. You can take down the Giant. And I think that's going to be a problem for them moving forward, because they're going to have to play the Chargers again. They're going to have to play some of these other big teams because they won their division last year, so they're going to be playing top of the divisions in all these other teams. Will they get to the playoffs? Probably. I'm not worried about the fact that they won't get there. It's just, how are they going to do once they're there? I don't see them even getting a first-round bye right now. Yeah. I think they're going to be like a 10 and, what, I guess there's 17 games, so maybe 11 and 6, 12 and 5.
That's even cool. That would be them significantly improving.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they can do that. I'm just, I have a hard time believing in a team that allows that kind of points because it's not sustainable. And good defenses will expose them.
Yeah.
No matter how good Patrick Mahomes is, he can't do it himself.
That's true.
He can't.
No, he can't. He can't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm with you, those Chiefs.
And I know some people are going to be like, yeah, well, there's nothing to worry about Mahomes. But it's not just Mahomes. You can't win just on offense. Yeah.
I think the trouble with Mahomes is that he's been we have kind of enabled some of the risk-taking that he's made, the sidearm throws, the no-looks, the things like that, and he's been able to overcome them. Right now, he's not. I just think that it's he's going to regress to the mean, okay? He's had some careless fumbles, interceptions. Some of them aren't even his. But I look at it and say, I think that this team can bounce back. My point in losing faith with him, are you going to pick the Washington racial slurs football team over the Chiefs?
Well, no, I picked the Chiefs over them.
That's why I just kind of want to keep that in mind, because I understand losing faith in it, but I also think I'm not going to go lose money on them.
But they got a game against the Titans coming up. Maybe they'll win. They're going to play against Green Bay. They got a game against Dallas. They're going to have to play the Raiders twice, the Chargers again. Cincinnati, who we were just talking about, is looking good. They got some tough games if they can't slow some of these teams down.
It's true. I mean, they were the favorites in the conference, and now they're not. We're five games in, and we're all kind of on the same page. They're not the best team.
The Super Bowl Blues.
I do want to talk about the Titans for a second. You mentioned that and not knowing what they are. I got to say, Mike Vrabel is just going to run the tires off of Derrick Henry. He is going to just run him until he might collapse and die on the field.
Yeah.
That kid, and he doesn't look like the same running back. I saw him get stopped at the goal line twice. And then I saw it where he like wasn't touched and then just like ran past like 15 arms. Like it's crazy. They're a team that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and they have a lot of weapons, but I feel like we're starting to see the Ryan Tannehill that was in Miami.
Yeah. The Titans were almost a team I considered for this because I thought they would be better this year than they have been, but ultimately, I think the Chiefs' defense is more surprising to me.
My team, I'm losing faith in. It's tough for me to admit, but I'm going to do it. It's the
time.
Dolphins.
Let it go.
Yeah. Accept.
Everybody take a deep breath
Acceptance,
with me.
That's the first step. Thank you.
The defense is just a shell of itself.
Yeah.
Their season is basically over. No turnovers for the defense, and they can barely get any pressure, even on Tom Brady. Okay. Plus, the offense is led by a quarterback that is, he might as well have been born in quicksand. I don't know if it's because he has those longer sleeves over his shoulder pad that make him look slower. He makes Tom Brady look like Michael Vick. Tom Brady scrambled for 12 yards on 3rd and 10 yesterday.
Oh, it was 13.
Well, the over-under was 1.5 yards of him running yesterday, and somebody hit it on that, and I'm so jealous. But I'm sitting there like the Dolphins. That's even their backup. Their starting quarterback can't get in because of his ribs. When did this Jacoby Brissett become so slow? He would come in and run games for the Colts as their fast quarterback. When did this team turn into such a crap show? I'm done with them. And don't get me wrong, I could pick them against the Jaguars this upcoming week, which I am. Yeah. But I will say I just got to feel bad for the Jets and the Dolphins because they went from being, you know, incompetent, no one thought of them for 20 years with the Patriots, and now they're in store for the same thing, 20 years of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to feel bad for a team like that. They missed.
I guess.
I'm losing faith in them. And
I mean, we're sitting here with like the Lions. I think they've been at the bottom of a division that have been pretty much owned by a team that always has a Hall of Fame quarterback
and doesn't even have an owner.
For the longest time, it was hard though because you had Stafford who was good, and so you're not going to draft any of that. I don't want to talk about them.
They're definitely losing faith in the Dolphins, and I've been fighting it. So I think after next week when they don't play the Jaguars in London, they're going to be getting the as Ian likes to call the auto opposite pick.
That's right.
Let's go to picks right now. Ian or Kyle, you want to give us an update on our leaderboard?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
How did we do this week, guys?
This was a great week for everyone. We all did really good. Let's move on.
But who did the best?
I got 10 points this past week.
Why do we always
start? I got 10 points.
Yeah, let me update you guys. I just saw that the Monday night game that is broadcasting right now, it's in overtime.
Are you serious right now?
Colts Ravens. It's in overtime right now.
What's the score?
I don't know.
It's
I don't know. You gotta look that up.
25-25.
The Ravens came back from
the
down.
The over under is at 56.5. If somebody gets a touchdown to finish it, it's 56.
Holy cow.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a gambler.
I think we all picked Baltimore anyway. Yeah,
but you picked them as a lock, so you could lose a point. So me and Ian are rooting for the Colts.
Come on, go Lamar. Turn it up.
He's elite.
Yeah.
But as of right now, Kyle, 10 points. Me, 10 points from last week.
Ian, soaring to 12.
12, the first week I actually am winning, or won.
ID 12.
That's right.
Good job, good job.
And still, despite all odds of me picking the Pats as my survivor, I am still the only one alive in that pick.
I can't wait for us to do it next year and you lose the first game. I just can't wait for us to do this next year and you lose the first one.
It was just funny.
It is incredible. That's something to be really proud of.
I am proud because you were giving me crap about it during the game.
I was. I was. I regretted every text message I sent. Yeah.
That gives us a total. Right now, I'm at 59. Marshall's at 51.
Woo-woo.
Ian's at 48.
I'm working my way back up.
You are working way back up. A couple more weeks like this, and you'll be within sight of
Hopefully we have an overtime loss that gets us 1 point closer. Well, let's start with our picks. The picks are the reason that we are here today. It's sort of starting a group chat, and now we are picking games.
Let's do it.
And doing a podcast.
Now it's time for our anti-Red Zone game of the week. We only watch the NFL on Red Zone. What game would make you turn the Red Zone off and watch the game from start to finish?
Marshall, you go first.
My anti-Red Zone game of the week is Eagles and Bucks. Finally, for the love of Jesus, I feel like we have a good Thursday night football game.
Come on.
I just don't like Thursday night football in general. I feel like we get the crappy show. Actually, I feel really bad for London. They get the crappy show. They're like, you got Falcons and Jets. And they're like, gosh, this sucks. We didn't even put it on our favorite like field in London. They put it on apparently like the like trashiest of the teams in London. And then we're like, you know what? You guys were such good fans. We're going to give you the Dolphins and Jaguars. Hopefully Urban Meyer makes it home on the flight and doesn't stay in London and get another video like he did before. But
That's
I do.
Awesome.
I'm going to call right now. I think Hurts is going to ball out. I'm calling the upset over the red hot Bucks. I think that they're going to be able to get pressure on Tom Brady. And you ask anybody, whoever has given you a Super Bowl prediction against the Patriots or against Tom Brady, they say the key to beating Tom Brady is get a rush with four players. So I'm kind of also going with the any given Sunday, hashtag any given Thursday motto for why I got the Eagles.
Hey, they're just coming off a hot win yesterday.
They're not going to have Gronk back, though, yet either, which, although it didn't seem to slow them down in the slightest.
No, only another five touchdowns for Brady.
Xavier Howard, the cornerback for the Dolphins, was after the game talking about how he just couldn't run. That's really not a good thing when you have Antonio Brown on you and you can't run.
I've been fascinated lately by how enthusiastic the fans are in London.
Kyle is loading there, by the way, in case you guys are
curious. I'm off script here. I'm just riffing here and just talking about how the fans there are really, really into it. There's a lot of them. And they're all walking around London with a different team jersey on.
That's cool.
Repping some American football team.
It's like going to the soccer games.
Going
in
there and cheering. And it's crazy. And it made me think, could you guys ever see a distant future where NFL expands to another country?
Totally. I think they're going to London. I think it's going to be Jacksonville.
There's talks that they're going to try and bring, not a team, but a game to Germany.
Is that Deutschland? Das Boot?
They've done Mexico City before, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely could see the Jacksonville Jaguars trying to cut Urban Meyer at some time and try to, just as a, like, hey, we're going to be a new team. Let's go to London.
Yeah.
Quite the money grab. Kyle, how about you for your anti-Red Zone game of the week?
Anti-Red Zone. I'm watching Chargers Ravens.
Absolutely.
Yes. I love watching 100%. These teams are fun to watch. They truly are. They're smoking hot. True contenders.
Smoking hot.
Even though I kind of kind of gave the Ravens the shaft earlier in our conversation, but I still think like they're a strong team. Herbert has defied all odds, somehow sustained a level of play, which doesn't make any sense. Normally, I don't know if maybe he didn't get the memo, but normally you're supposed to have like some ups and downs. Normally you're supposed to have like some good games, some bad games, some okay games. That's just like what you do in the league, right? Not Justin Herbert. Apparently he didn't get that. But the Ravens are making notable improvements in their few areas of weakness. I think the winner here really makes a huge statement and likely rises to number two in the AFC. Whoever wins this, that I will dub them silver medal through 6 weeks in the AFC. Moving on. Ian.
My pick, Cleveland versus Arizona. Oh, man. And I chose this specifically because I knew we were going to get into it about the AFC North and the NFC West. Well, we have ourselves a match.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Who did you pick? Did you take Arizona for this?
I did.
So I'm taking
my Cardinals.
I think I'm taking Cleveland, and it's just because of this. Because I got to believe these are two teams that are really exciting, and I think they're trying to prove to everyone else that they can play with the big boys. And dare I say, are these two teams both looking to get to the Superb Owl? I think they are. So I'm really hoping for it. So I think this game is going to be really fun. Maybe even a preview of what's to come.
How sweet would that be?
I think that'd be a pretty great Super Bowl.
That would sign me up. Oh, man, that'd be so dope. So
we have to talk. Whenever we say Super Bowl, we have to remind our listeners, this is the first year we're going to have the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday off. Hashtag President's Day. Hashtag staying up late, watching all of it, sleeping in, and get to talk about the next day. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I can't wait when the Lions win it.
Oh, gosh. Speaking about teams that are locked out of the house because they're not going to get in the Super Bowl, how about our lock picks of the week?
Now it's time for our lock of the week.
Cha-ching. I'm taking Rams over the Giants. This is a shoe-in. Oh, there is no way
such an easy pick.
That the decimated Giants take out the high-flying Rams. I mean, who's even left on this team? They might be even worse than the Jets now, and they definitely cannot hang with the Rams. Shoe-in. Kyle picks Rams over Giants.
All right. Ian, how about yourself?
I agree. I would have done that. I was having a hard time with my lock, so I did the unthinkable, and I chose the Cowboys.
No.
America's team.
I took the cows. I took the cows over the Pats. So
can we always only call them the cows?
I do. Cowboys. I feel a little bit better about calling them the cows.
Cowboys.
I am taking the cows over the Pats, though. I think Prescott's really good. That offense is clicking. Dang. And it does make me fearful that we're going to have to talk about the Cowboys.
Especially,
a little bit more.
I hate that.
The dual-headed Pollard-Ezekiel Elliott running game has been pretty impressive to watch.
I think Pollard's – I'd actually have to look, but I like Pollard more.
His style is very conducive to like a team like the Lions, how they have played with running backs like DeAndre Swift.
So which duo would you take, Hunt and Chubb or Pollard and Elliott?
Come on. Don't even ask.
Come on. Be honest.
It's the Browns. It's not even close.
Chubb is better than both of those
maybe
guys.
5 years ago, I would take maybe Zeke, but not the one that's put on the weight that he has. He's still great, but shredded out of Ohio State, that's the Zeke I'd want.
All right.
He was annoying, too, with his little goose step that almost got him tackled short of the goal line.
That was awesome. I don't care what you say. That is amazing. I love
it. I hate when players like... There's been videos of Deshaun Jackson and other players.
The ball.
Mm. Yeah, just like nonsense like that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of it. I mean, you never saw Barry do it. And I always compare Barry's the greatest.
If Barry, whatever Barry does, we should all do. So let's all retire early. Speaking of the Lions,
I want to retire early.
Yeah, seriously, I don't see
what's so
how
bad
this
about
is
that. Like, as
Tom Brady.
Point.
As for my lock of the week, we're going to talk about how bad the Lions are. Cincy over the Lions, and I'm just going to say right here, you ain't going to need field goals to beat the Lions this upcoming week. We will see the Bengals play hard and beat a downtrodden and cursed Lions team.
All right, well,
you cannot blame the refs this week. We have a lock in the door, and I'm turning the key.
I know what you're doing here. You're trying to get a rise out of me, and it's working! I hate you. There's a sad statistic for you. the Lions are the first team to lose to 2 50-plus-yard field goals in a scoreline in a season. So this has never happened. In a season, they've lost, and the scoreline being 19-17. And that happened back-to-back.
Wow.
And in two heartbreaking fashions. It's just...
I want to play for that coach, though. He's out there crying out there. I'm like, you know what? Do you think he's ever cried before that game? Like, do you think Dan Campbell eating like kneecap soup? Do you think he's ever cried? Or do you think that was the first time it's ever happened?
He's probably cried. That seems like a guy who's in touch with his emotions.
Absolutely.
From the very beginning. That doesn't actually surprise me.
And I'm a counselor. I'm all for that. So
that made me respect him even more, and even though this team is 0-5, I think I love that man more today than I did at the beginning of the year. Right. Even though they're 0-5, I love him.
They're the best 0-5 team I've ever seen.
He started crying, and I started crying, and I was just crying.
I know. And somewhere else, there's a different press conference where Jaguars fans are crying for very different reasons.
We're going to be in London soon.
Speaking of that, let's start talking about upsets. Because I am upset.
Okay. We've got reason to be upset. But there's reason to be joyful. I'm taking, for my upset of the week, Seahawks over Steelers.
What? Another AFC versus NFC.
I think he did this on a principle. I saw it and was like, this is on a principle.
I think I also chose the Steelers on this one, too.
I did.
All right. Let's see what happens. I mean, Pittsburgh is looking forward to playing against a terrible defense. And maybe, you know, when you stack things up, it looks like this is a match made in heaven and a chance for Pittsburgh to get right.
That's right. You're a terrible defense.
Seahawks defense is terrible. I don't know if it's like Chiefs level terrible, but it's pretty darn bad. And the Pittsburgh gets to defend against the second string quarterback. So they should walk in feeling like, hey, we can win this. But hey, don't discount my man Geno Smith. He's got what it takes. He can show up. He can keep Seattle in the picture. Big Ben is going to fail again to capitalize on opportunities. He's going to show us what he's really made of at this point. Pete Carroll's struggling Seattle squad will squeak out a sloppy second half to save. So, there.
Say that 5 times fast. Yeah.
That's what I got to say.
What is Big Ben made out of? I'm a little nervous to know. A bunch of beef burgers.
I don't know.
It's really interesting, actually, Big Ben. It's almost like he watched Tom Brady, you know, take care of his body for like 20 years so he could survive. And he saw like one commercial. He's like, honey, I think I'm going to have no tater tot tonight. All right. We're going to do green beans. And he thought just having that one bowl of green beans saved him and that he's able to do the season.
But you don't eat bread.
I will say it's crazy that Geno Smith's still in the league. I thought the last time I saw him was when he broke.
I didn't even realize. Yeah.
Last time I saw him was when in 2015 when he broke his jaw in a fight.
Oh, in the Jets?
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's stunning to think that he's still in the league. So
it's a long time. His last touchdown pass was December 2017, and he threw another one. He led a beautiful drive against the Rams.
I think that one drive has given you some false perceptions of this man.
No.
I believe it's happening.
I'm a believer. I got faith.
I got faith. It's multiplying.
Ian, how about yourself for your upset?
Against all of my deepest desires not to ever talk about Urban Meyer, I'm taking the Jaguars over Miami. While Urban Meyer is, in fact, a joke, and I do want him gone, I think Lawrence has started to show that he is capable of hanging in this league, and I think he is going to be good enough to sneak a win against a struggling Miami team here. So... I was kind of looking at all the games. This one felt like the closest margin of error for me. So,
yeah,
it's going to be hard because the Jags are, you know, a bad, you know,
they're super bad.
Absolutely. My upset pick of the week. It's not going to be I don't feel like it's not going to be an upset after this. I got, Raiders over Broncos. Broncos, I feel like, exposed themselves to be the average team that they were. They beat down on crappy teams when, in fact, it's the Spider-Man meme. They are pointing at themselves and looking in the mirror, and they suck as well. I think the Raiders are going to bounce back after a weird loss that I definitely think was related with John Gruden. I'm expecting a big, big game from Khalil Mack to get back there, get rid of Sweaty Teddy, as we're going to call him.
Sweaty Teddy, that sounds gross.
Well, he's going to be sweating after he's running away from that man who's going to absolutely put him within an inch of death. The run game for the Raiders, I think, will be the deciding factor. And I think that this team is going to come to play for a coach that is not named
John Gruden. I was going to say, who?
Yeah. Wow. Do we have any idea who's going to be coaching?
Not as of right now. I'm going to look and I'll get back to you.
Because often there's like a successor, like an interim.
Yeah, they're almost always goes to like one of the assistants.
Or
like
the coordinator.
Yeah, offense or defensive coordinator.
Yeah. Okay.
I
don't know.
I almost said Ron Rivera. That's yeah. Right.
Who is Ron Rivera? You're right. Next question to Jeopardy.
Well, speaking of surviving.
This next segment is what we like to call our Survivor pick.
Ian, you're undefeated on Survivor. How about you give us
that's
a
right.
Shot
and I think I feel like I chose an easy one here. I have not taken the Bucks in this yet, so I'm taking the Buccaneers. In Brady, I trust. I think your feeble attempts to say the Eagles are going to take them down is laughable. But yeah, I'm taking Bucks.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so we've got a situation here. Ian's Survivor is Marshall's upset.
No, not my upset of the week. I'm just picking it because I'm feeling it.
Yeah, you chose.
I'm doing it out of gut.
Upset, but
yeah.
A gut.
And also the Raiders coach, interim coach, is going to be Rich Bisaccia. I have no idea who that is. I don't know if I pronounce that right.
I love how you said it. Say it again.
Bisaccia.
Bisaccia.
It's like in...
say it again.
No, it's like in the movie Ace Ventura. Shakaka. Shish kebab. Shanana.
Your survivor.
My survivor. Can't believe it. Chiefs over the Washington football team.
Okay.
Like I talked about earlier, Mahomes, reckless throwing interceptions, not truly all his fault. Third most interceptions in the NFL, only behind Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Not great company. I have to think that he is going to go towards the mean with those poor performances. I'm looking forward to a hot game for Mahomes. I'm expecting at least one long touchdown from Tyreek Hill.
Hopman.
Definitely most
wow. You're cut that from the pod. You are an absolute piece of crap for yawning during my take.
Sorry.
It was a yawn-versation.
I know, yeah. It was pretty boring.
Wow. Go ahead, Kyle. Give us your reason why you think the Texans are going to lose like you do every week when you pick whoever's playing the Texans. Go ahead, Kyle.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm picking the Colts over the Texans. That's my survivor pick. I haven't seen anything from Houston since Tyrod Taylor's injury to make me believe they can be relied upon. Davis Mills? Come on. The Colts get back a glimmer of hope next week. Got it. Ian, your turn.
You already did your turn. That's right. What is this nonsense? You're not even
yawning.
Sorry.
Kyle is checked out.
This
sounds like the good time for a last call.
Yeah. Anyway, here we are. Anything else worth mentioning, buddies?
I looked at what records were for teams after losses, firing their coach midseason. What the first game is after they fire that coach. It's a combined record of 108 and 183. But we also look at that's a 37% winning percentage. And if you look at what they were before they fired the coach of 79 and 216, which is 26 winning percentage. So teams on average are winning more often when they fire their coach during the season.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, I think that one's a little bit more unexpected. But Baltimore did win against the Colts.
So
you get your extra point.
Gosh.
But I still,
all right,
won the week. So
way to go.
I'm still happy about that.
Way to
that
go.
Just supports my AFC North theory. So I'm actually kind of glad they won.
I love that.
Well, before we go, we want to remind you guys to rate and review our podcast. I want you to give us 5 stars. We accept nothing but 5 stars. We want you to send this to your friends. Tweet us at @PointAfterNFL on Twitter. And send us your takes, send us your questions, send us your team. We want to hear from you. Subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. We love you. Thank you for listening right now.
It always sounds like a lot of work when you say it that way.
Thank you.
I was just looking at some really good NFL commercials.
We're going back and all we are the full way circle. Back.
Yeah. Because you remember the one that Tony Romo did where he had like the bald head and like the hair and he was like doing crafts like pottery. That was funny.
I think I'd pay to watch him do that right now.
Yeah. Or the one Tim Tebow did that was he's making fun of his lack of a contract. Like, looks like it was a T-Mobile campaign.
I think that'd be a little touchy subject right now for him.
Yeah, he's probably a little
he's
bit
probably
sad
happy
about
to
that.
Not be on Urban Meyer's team.
Yeah. Oh, Clay Matthews. That's Urban right. Meyer. He was in some.
Oh gosh.
Oh, that's right. The Packers had like this weird line dance thing, didn't they?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I do think that there was a Hall of Fame one for during the Super Bowl that was absolutely stunning. He had all the best NFL players. We watched it together, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the 100 years. We were like, whoa, that was amazing.
They were all dressed up and around tables, and then like a ball comes in.
They were throwing a football around.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what about Troy Polamalu? We didn't talk about Head and Shoulders.
Oh, with his hair? That's
Head and Shoulders.
Yes, and Odell was in the Head and Shoulders.
Who's been doing it with him lately?
So, who has the good hair?
Is it Mahomes?
Was it Mahomes?
I think it's Mahomes.
It might have been Mahomes.
I'm waiting for TJ Hockenson to get into a commercial for Head & Shoulders with Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
Hockenson is getting that hair going.
We really ended this pod on just a very energetic note.
Marshawn Lynch was in some good ones.
Marshawn Lynch is good in anything. I'll watch him read the dictionary.
I love that guy.
Man, I don't need to tell you what I'm going to eat for dinner.
What about Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning, I feel like he's like the most comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
Like.
His giant forehead.
He's amazing. Yeah. Five head.
He should do a head. He should do a
six
head
and a half,
shoulders.
Actually.
Yeah. All right. We're done here.